Well, as we come to this last Sunday of 2020, I suspect that there aren't very many people who won't be happy to see the calendar turn and for us to begin a new year. And for many of us, when we begin a new year, we have a tendency to think about maybe beginning some things, beginning to do some things, beginning not to do some things, or beginning to do things more or better than we did before. And so with that in mind this morning, I want to talk to you about a new beginning. And I want to talk to you specifically about how we can change. I mentioned earlier that we're going to be teaching a class in here beginning next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. about that topic. And I want today to just put three words in your head. A three-word phrase that I think is really important when it comes to how we change. Here's the phrase: believing before behaving. Believing before behaving. Because as we come to a new year, quite often, as I said, we think of, you know, I want to establish this habit, or I want to begin to do this that I haven't been doing, or I want to cease to do this, begin to not do this that I've maybe been doing. We see some need for change. We want some things to be different, and we want to behave differently. Because we know, if we know God's Word, and if we have God's Spirit within us, we know how God has called us to live. We know that we are responsible as those who profess Christ to live a life that is worthy of the calling that we have received in Jesus Christ our Lord. But how does that work? Biblically, how do we change? How do we begin to behave in a way more consistently with what we are called to as God's people? And I think those three words that make up that phrase is really important: believing before behaving. And I'll show you that in just these next few moments. But as we begin, I want to mention two verses that some of you probably will know. One verse says this: Paul wrote these words, "Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come." That's something we need to believe. First and foremost, we need to believe that this is a reality for those of us who are in Christ through faith. We are united to Christ, and united to Christ, we are new creations. The old has passed, the new has come. There has been a decisive change that has taken place in you if you are in Christ because of your faith in Christ. There is a drastic difference in who you were before your faith and who you are now through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to be conscious of this, and we need to be confident of this as we enter a new year. Another verse that Paul also wrote, this time being sort of personal, speaking about himself as one who is in Christ, he said this: "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh," or in the body, "I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I live by faith in the Son of God. Believing is where it begins. Believing. Now, when we initially believe and trust in Jesus for our salvation, to be our Savior, to forgive us of our sins, to become the Lord of our life, when we believe, we become new creations. As he wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17. But as he also wrote about himself, it's also true that we have been crucified with Christ. That is a reality for you, if you are in Christ. We have been crucified with Christ. We have died with Christ. And Christ lives in us. It is no longer, he says, I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so it's by faith in these realities that we change. It's as we continually remain conscious of these things and confident of these things that our behavior changes, that our lives change. I guess I might say this also as we get started this morning. Don't begin with try. End with try. Begin with trust. Don't begin with try. So often we go into a new year or we approach the desire to change and we start with try. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to not do this. Don't begin there. Begin with trust. That is, remember what the Bible says is true about you if you're in Christ. Begin there. Begin with believing, because that always has to come before behaving if we're really going to change and walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm getting at. The Duke of Windsor, several decades ago, was remembering his boyhood as Prince Edward. And he said, as he was remembering his boyhood, that his father, King George V, would often admonish him whenever he did something wrong like this. The king would say to him as a young prince, "My dear boy, you must always remember who you are." And he knew that his dad was saying that because he believed that if he did that, if he remembered who he was, if he was conscious of the fact that he was the prince and the heir to the throne of England, then he would behave differently. I think that's essentially what the Bible is saying to us and what God is saying to us through Scripture. Our Heavenly Father is saying to us, if we are in Christ, my dear child, you must always remember who you are. You must always remember that you're a new creation. You must always remember that you have been crucified with Christ. You must always remember that Christ lives in you and that you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. This is the biblical way to think. This is the biblical mental process that we must follow regularly if we are going to change, if we're going to behave in a way that is consistent with our status as the children of God. So what I want to do for these next few minutes is just refer to a couple of texts and have you look at these texts with me, because I want you to see that this is the way the Bible teaches us to think. The first passage is in Romans. So I invite you, if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, to turn to Romans chapter 6. And I want us to look at this incredible chapter, and particularly a couple of verses in this chapter. Romans chapter 6. First in verse 2. Verse 2 begins, "By no means," which is an answer to the question in verse 1. But notice next, "How can we who died to sin still live in it?" How can we who have died to sin, that's a reality. If you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, you have died to sin. You've been crucified with Christ. You've died to sin. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? That is our reality as a part of the family of God, as princes and princesses who will inherit God's kingdom. This is who we are. We have died to sin. Now, look down at verse 11 and notice what he says there. After saying what he says back up in verse 2, he eventually comes to verse 11 and says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ." He says, you are, this is the case, but it's important for you to consider yourself in this way. In other words, we need to be conscious of and confident in this truth, this reality, that we have died to sin. And on the basis of that, our life changes. Because we believe that what God says about us is true. That what God says has happened in us and to us is so. And on the basis of that, we have the motivation and the power to change. In other words, this is who we are, therefore, this is what we do. That's the kind of argument that you see in the New Testament, but clearly and prominently in Paul's writings. This is who we are, therefore, this is what we do. Now, turn from Romans to 1 Corinthians, the next book, right after Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's important to see how often this is shown and how often this is said. This line of logic is used in Scripture by Paul, particularly. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. He says to this church in Corinth, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. Now here he tells them first what to do, but then he tells them the basis for what they're to do. What they're to do is to cleanse out the old leaven. And the basis for that is because of who they are. They are really unleavened. Before God, because of His grace, we are made unleavened. Now, in the Old Testament, on Passover particularly, the people were to eat unleavened bread. And Paul picks up on that and uses leaven as a symbol here for sin or impurity. And he's saying to this church, you are unleavened. Because of your faith in Christ, you've been made pure. You've been forgiven of your sins. Therefore, you must purify yourselves. You are pure, therefore, purify yourselves. And here he is speaking about boasting that you can see in verse 6, but he's also speaking about the fact that there's someone in the church who is persisting in sin. And therefore, there's to be church discipline. This man is to be removed from the church because of his persistence in known sin. As a church, you are unleavened. This is the logic. You are really unleavened. So cleanse out the old leaven. Do you see the logic? Do you see the way we're supposed to think based on what Paul says here? This is who we are, therefore this is what we do. Turn over now to Ephesians. Just a couple of books over, still looking at what Paul says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Here it is again, the same thought process. Ephesians 5, 7. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. Excuse me, I read the wrong one. 5, 8. I'm sorry. For at one time, here it is, Ephesians 5, 8. For at one time you were darkness, speaking to these Christians. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There it is again. He tells them who they are. First telling them who they were. You were darkness. On Christmas Eve, we talked a lot about light and darkness. We talked about how a light has dawned, Isaiah said in chapter 9, and how he tells us a little later that he's referring there to the child that was born, the son that was given, Jesus. So the coming of Jesus was like the dawn, the rising of the sun. Well, here's another example of how these images of light and darkness are used in the Bible. For, verse 8, at one time you were darkness. We were in darkness, but darkness was also in us then. We were darkness, and now he says, you are light. We are in the light, but the light is also in us. We are light now in the Lord. So that's true. That's a reality. Now here's our responsibility based on that reality. Walk as children of light. Do you see it? This is who you are. This is what you do based on who you are. You are light, therefore walk. Live in a way that is consistent with the light, with being children of light. This is who we are, therefore this is what we do. Now one last text. Turn to Colossians, a couple of books over. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I've spent a lot of time over the past 6 months in Colossians 3. It's a wonderful chapter. And I want you to see the same thing here that we've been seeing already. Verse 1 in chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, and it would maybe be easier for us to understand what he's saying if we said since then. That's what he means. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now look at verse 5. Based on those realities, this is our responsibility. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he lists several things: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Do you see it? Again, these are the realities, and in light of these realities, this is your responsibility. This is what we do based upon who we are. You have been raised with Christ. The picture in verses 1 through 4 is that we've been not only raised from death to life, but from earth to heaven, because we are with Christ in God now in the heavenly places. So we've been raised with Christ and we've died with Christ. We've died with Christ. Therefore, since we've been raised from earth and we've died with Christ, we need to put to death what is earthly in us. Those things that are earthly that he lists here. Who we are is the basis for how we act. And so again, I come back to say again those three words that are the phrase that I want you to remember. Believing before behaving. We need to be conscious of what the Bible says is true about us, and we need to be confident of what the Bible says about us. And in that faith, we live by faith in the Son of God. It's not just faith at the beginning. We don't just believe and we're converted and then we try. We continue to live by faith in the Son of God and trust in Him and what He has done for us and what He has done in us through faith, because of faith. 2021 has a wonderful sound, doesn't it? Has a wonderful sound. As we begin this new year, I want this to be a time for all of us to begin, or to begin more consistently, to remember who God says we are because of Christ and through faith. And on the basis of that, we have the strength, we have the power, we have the motivation, we have the incentive, we have the basis upon which we can really change. The way we walk can change. And that's what God calls us to. Every day should be a new beginning, right? Every day. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And it's on the basis of His faithfulness that we have our confidence in that enables us to be faithful and to grow in faithfulness in terms of our behavior, in terms of our lives. Let's bow. I want to give you just a few moments to just reflect on this way of thinking that's so prominent in Paul's writings and is clear in all of the scriptures. Father, this morning, we pray that as we anticipate the beginning of a new year, that we would begin not with trying, but with trusting, and then end with trying. Trying based upon the truths that we now trust in, and that are realities for us. Help us to live by faith as we approach a new year. Help us as individuals, help us as a church to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. May Jesus be the one that we look to, the one that we trust in. We pray that He would be our vision. God revealed in Christ, that You, God, would be our vision as we begin a new year. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. This morning we have a family who's been a member of our congregation for a while, and I'm going to ask Joseph Sade and his family to come and stand down front. They are going to be leaving. He's in the military. He's going to be transferred and be serving in North Carolina, I think it is, next. And so we will miss this family. They've been a part of our church for several years, and we're grateful that they have been. So what I want to do is I want to lead us in prayer for the Sade family, and then after I finish the prayer, I'll voice a benediction, and then we'll be dismissed. Let's bow. God, thank you for Joseph and Cassandra and their kids. Thank you for bringing them here in your good providence. Thank you, God, for their investment and for their faithfulness and for their service to you in this congregation and through this congregation. God, thank you for them. Thank you for friendships that have been formed. And we do thank you ultimately all friendships like these last forever, and we give you thanks for that, and we praise you. I pray that you'd bless them as they go to this new place. I pray that you would guide them to a gospel-centered church where they would be fed, where they will be encouraged, where they can serve, where they can be changed and be a part of helping others to change in a way that glorifies you. Lord, watch over them, and again, we give you thanks for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now hear this benediction. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God bless you. You are dismissed.